Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for our show are Harriet Williamson and Jack Brighton, and Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. A quick mention of some upcoming programs before we get started with this hour. Tomorrow morning, we'll be talking with the photographer, Jason Lindsay, who is involved in a book that's just come out that's titled Windy City Wild, Chicago's Natural Wonders. It has a lot of really fine photographs in it, so we'll talk about that. I will also talk with Jack Darren from the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club about some of the natural features of the state in places where, well, maybe you might not expect them, certainly in the city of Chicago. You don't think of that as being one of the wild places of the state. Also, we'll talk about Yugoslavia and what's happened there in the past couple of months. After the decline and fall of Slobodan Milosevic, Jonathan Davidson will talk with us. He's chief political officer of the Washington delegation of the European Commission, who will be visiting the campus. That'll be tomorrow. And then also coming up on Thursday, we'll have another conversation with Rick Kaplan. He is former president of CNN, who will be visiting the campus, as he does a couple times a year, to work with journalism students. And we'll talk with him about news coverage of the election, I'm sure, among other things. We're here weekday mornings from 10 until noon. We have 10 different topics for you each week. And we always give you the opportunity to call in and ask questions. Of course, we're also on the web now 24 hours a day. There's a lot of information available on our website. You can also go there and listen to some programs you might have missed first time around. So check it out if you have not already, WILL.UIUC.edu. Well, tonight, the University of Illinois will be hosting the premiere of a new work for chamber orchestra and voice called The Song and the Slogan, inspired by the poetry of Carl Sandburg, featuring music by Daniel Stephen Crafts. The piece was commissioned by tenor Jerry Hadley, who is a graduate of the University of Illinois, went on to greater fame from here. He'll be performing the work tonight. Also serving as reader, David Hartman, former host of ABC's Good Morning America. He will be here. And there is also a documentary that will feature this work that's now in production here at WILL Television that will include a performance of The Song and the Slogan, as well as some other material about the life and work of Carl Sandburg. That's being produced by Tim Harton. He's directing. Allison Davis is writing, and you can see that sometime, probably next year. It will be made available to PBS stations across the country. This morning, we will be spending some time talking about this whole project, about The Song and the Slogan, and with Jerry Hadley, who has just arrived, the composer, Daniel Stephen Crafts, and David Hartman. So they're all here, and we're pleased to have them. And as we talk, of course, questions are welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL.
Morning.
And we have some tickets to give away, so we'll do that later. Yes, thanks.
Good morning.
Here.
Morning.
All of you. Let me start with Jerry. Because the project really did start with you growing out of your interest, I gather, longtime interest in Carl Sandburg. You were first introduced to Sandburg's poetry when you were a boy.
Oh, gosh. Well, I must have been about 5 or 6 years old. My great-aunt Marion, who lived in the family homestead farm in near Osco, Illinois, was one of those people who were more a product of the 19th century than of the 20th. And she was a great fan of lots of American literature. She introduced me to Carl Sandburg by actually taking me to the Carl Sandburg birthplace in Galesburg. Mm-hmm. And somewhere it got tucked back into my little unformed subconscious. And, then over the course of my adolescence, of course, Sandburg got revisited very often in school and what have you. And I've loved Sandburg's poetry throughout my adult life. The project came about quite simply. I was looking around for texts which I could commission to have set to music by living composers. And I was in San Francisco. Dan has to help me with this. It was 94, 95, 96, something like that. It's been a long time ago, four or five years ago. Dan was living in San Francisco. I had met Dan when he was the mellifluous voice of what were the call letters?
Well, actually, this whole thing began as a radio interview.
That's right.
Most appropriately enough.
Yeah.
RCA called me and said, would you like to do an interview with Jerry Hadley? I said, you better believe I want to do an interview with Jerry Hadley. Then they said, oh, well, you're not actually going to meet him. It's only going to be a telephone interview. I said, well, that's fine, whatever. And they said, oh, also, you have to get up at 6 on Sunday morning and do it. I said, well, no.
Not even for him. But we did have a long conversation, as I recall, and you know, hit it off, and then Dan sent me some of the music that he had composed. He was quite a prolific composer already. To make a long story short, I called Dan when I was in San Francisco four or five years ago, and said, come on over for lunch. I want to show you something. And I showed him the texts, which he subsequently set and fashioned the song and the slogan. It was that simple. And Dan's also has a dark secret because he's also a Midwesterner by birth.
I'm glad you brought that up. I want to say I'm not somebody imported from somewhere else to write about the Midwest. Indeed, I grew up in Michigan, so I'm one of you folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then let me ask you, Dan, when you approached writing music to go with this poetry, how did you even begin?
With a feeling. I read the poetry. Actually, Jerry read the poetry to me. Jerry selected the poetry, and he did a wonderful job of picking out from many, many poems by Carl Sandburg that declaim beautifully but don't really sing. He picked out text that really does sing. And when he read it to me, I was very moved by it. And essentially in composing, that's what I do. I feel something, an emotion, and I mean emotion in the most liberal sense of the word, most encompassing sense of the word, and feel it and get into it, and eventually it starts to come out as notes.
The thing that I love about Dan's music is, I mean, just so that nobody mistakes it, Dan is a profoundly gifted musical craftsman who manages to trust his intellect enough and trust his training enough to allow his heart to be fully engaged at all times. And that's a pretty unbeatable combination.
Well, it's hard not to do with a text like that. It's really hard not to do.
I think, could I inject something at this point, listening to what the two of you just said? They both do that. Jerry Hadley does that. With his voice, I've thought in the past. I've never told him this, but in terms of classical music, classical singing, and operatic singing, and sometimes quasi operatic, when he's not singing grand opera. But Jerry, to me, is a kind of Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra of classical music. And when I say that as a compliment, in that he so trusts his musical ability and his capacity as a singer and has the intellect and the heart to allow what the music means, what the words mean in the music, that's what comes out of Jerry Hadley. And that's part of Jerry's gift. And what you hear simultaneously, what Daniel just said about how he feels music and tries to write it down, the same thing comes from him. And when I heard this music for the first time, what I felt, not what I intellectually discerned, what I felt from the opening chords of this was a perception of Sandburg and Sandburg's perception of the Midwest and what the Midwest is all about. And not, I don't mean now Midwest. I'm talking about traditional, you know, decades, you know, not only decades, but, you know, centuries of Midwest and what's here.
But
what they've done.
Yeah, even though he's not talking about the Midwest of today, though, I think he's talking about a set of values and a spirit that that still permeates the lives of all the people that live here.
For anyone who might just have tuned in, I should introduce you all again for the listening audience. Here in the studio with us, singer Jerry Hadley, David Hartman, and composer Daniel Stephen Crafts. They are all here for a This is the world premiere, right? First time anywhere?
World premiere of The Song and the Slogan.
Of The Song and the Slogan. This is a work with music by Daniel Stephen Crafts, inspired by, including poetry of Carl Sandburg. Jerry's going to be performing, and David will be here as reader, happening on the U of I campus tonight. We do have some tickets that we will give away in a little while, so do stay with us. And we also have some music to play. Let me just – I understand that, Jerry, I know because you've got to perform tonight.
Right.
That
– I'm only with you for just a few
more
minutes.
You're
going
to be here for a little while. We don't want to wear you out. So I just want to make sure that we get maximum mileage out of you before you have to go. One thing that I think is true, I think the reason that I think a lot of people in this country don't relate to poetry is that they have only seen it on a printed page, and poetry is meant to be spoken out. So it's not surprising that we would have here a work of poetry set to music. A lot of composers have always done that, set poetry to music. But I'm not here sort of also interested in how David approaches this, because here now you're also performing the poetry. You're not singing like Jerry is, but you're also having to use your voice to put something across too. How do you approach doing this?
My hope is that the listener will just feel and hear Sandburg's perceptions of the Midwest, of his experience. That's all. Likewise, the music and what Jerry sings and what Daniel wrote. I mean, this whole evening should evoke Sandburg in the Midwest. And all of us need to get past our experience and our technique and all of that stuff, so that whoever comes to hear this program tonight will sit there and literally be absorbed or absorb Sandburg and the Midwest. That's what we hope happens.
But you're selling yourself a little short, though, because not only a lot of people know you as the great ominence of Good Morning America, but don't let us forget that he was also an actor, and you also have a dark secret that you started out as a singer too, right?
I know.
Well, once Jerry goes, you can do it.
I can do a job.
What was that little tune you were in? Was it called Hello Dolly?
I thought that's
on Broadway.
Not familiar with that. When was that?
that was really interesting.
It was about a well-endowed country western singer who goes on to big things.
Oh yes, I think I do recall.
Yeah.
Well, at some point here, we want to play some music. You think now would be a good time to?
Probably a good idea. Since we've been blowing smoke for a while, we might as well actually hear some of the music.
Right. All right, let's do that.
And maybe I should say goodbye now, and you can play the music. And I hope everybody turns out tonight. And I will certainly do my best not to screw up, and I know that David will do the same. So you know, we'll
not
try
that
to,
we're defensive or fearful
no,
about
no,
the evening's
no, 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 no,
well,
no, no.
Well, I was about to observe that, you know, with someone who says, he just says, I'll do my best not to screw up. That's, you know, is that really going to get the people out there?
Well, but I mean, that's very Sandbergian, you know. I mean, it's a very common man sort of thing.
Humility, appropriate level of humility.
Yeah, you got to get out with the people is my attitude.
Yes.
Well, Jerry Hadley, thank you
very
much,
David,
for being here. And folks here in and around Champaign-Urbana will have the opportunity to hear him in this work tonight. And as I said, little bit, we have six pair of tickets that we're going to give away. But at this point, perhaps we should give people an opportunity to hear some of the music that they'll be performing tonight.
watch as one more sunrise or a score. After the sunburn of the day, handling a pitchfork at a hay rack, after the eggs and biscuit and coffee, the pearl gray haystacks in the gloaming.
That is a portion of the song. And the slogan, it is a new chamber work inspired by the poetry of Carl Sandburg, music by Daniel Stephen Crafts, performed by Jerry Hadley. The piece will have its world premiere on the University of Illinois campus tonight. This is a benefit for the School of Music, by the way. And that I know that there are tickets available, and in a little while here, maybe about 5 minutes or so, we'll be giving some away. Jerry was just with us, but he's going to have to take it easy on the voice because he's got to perform tonight, so he split. But still here in the studio, we have Daniel Stephen Crafts. He's the composer, and also David Hartman, who'll be serving as a reader for the performance.
I did want to mention the players
yes.
that you heard
yes.
on that recording, particularly our second soloist, which is cellist Barbara Hedlund, who played those, marvelously played those cello solos that you just heard. Barbara has also been the organizational genius behind this whole project, and it would not have happened without her. Mm. Also, the players on this are the flute player is Dr. James Scott, the clarinetist Solomon Baer, oboe Allison Roebuck, the French horn player is Kaz McCullough, Jordan Kay is the banjo player, Ricardo Flores the percussionist, and the amazing Eric Dahlheim is our pianist, and Paul Vermel is conducting.
Well, we're very fortunate here on this campus to have a lot of very talented musicians.
Indeed.
To draw
Indeed.
On. The you know, I think some people, you know, when they hear that this is a new piece of music, might get a little scared. People do have some difficulty sometimes with contemporary music because sometimes I think composers are interested, perhaps a little bit more interested in the technical challenges of composition than they are in how people are going to respond to it. And this, I think this work, while it's modern, seems to me to be quite accessible.
I have been fighting against modernism my whole career. the poetry of Carl Sandburg, to my mind, is far more influenced by folk poetry than it is by the new technical developments of the time. And indeed, he did follow many of the new things that were happening. He doesn't use regular meters. He doesn't use rhyme schemes. But still in all, the flavor of it always struck me as far more like folk poetry. That's a genre that really has disappeared from contemporary life, although we still have remnants of it. There was a time when everybody could recite a poem or two at gatherings. We have a couple of them that still stay with us. 'Twas the night before Christmas, went all through the house, and so on and so forth, and... There is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. And there were thousands of these poems, folk poems, that everybody knew at the time that Sandburg was writing. And that, I think, is a great deal of the influence of his writing. And I have tried very much to mirror that in the music, so that these aren't folk tunes, but I'm hoping that they will sound like they could have been folk tunes.
Dan, how much of this is... I'm going to my normal mode, which is
interviewer
to ask question.
Mode?
Yeah, right.
It's okay.
But how much of this is writing melody, something that we lay folks can perhaps not only hear but perhaps understand in our own way, something that we can perhaps hum if we heard it enough times, as opposed to just hearing what might sound like squeaking noise to us. I'm being unfair here, but you know what I think you know what I mean.
Well, I've tried very much to. My idea of writing a vocal piece, or particularly an opera, is that you have a number of outstanding melodies that give singers an opportunity to do all the wonderful things that they can do. People come to the opera. I certainly come to the opera to hear the beautiful voices. And if you don't provide a vehicle that allows those voices to show you all the marvelous things that they can do, then to me it's a kind of a wasted experience. And the same certainly goes for instrumentalists. Barbara is such a magnificent cello player. Mm. I want to hear what she can do. I want to hear those marvelous tones that she can produce. So I did my best to give her the opportunity to let us hear that.
She reached us last night in the rehearsal, David, emotionally. It wasn't just hearing a cello well played. What this piece is all about that Dan wrote and that Jerry sings, I felt from her cello. I didn't just hear it from the cello. I felt it from the cello. Is that the sense you had,
Absolutely.
Dan? I mean, that's what I got, you know, last night.
Well, I'm sure that also maybe one of the advantages of writing for a small group, and I think one of the things that makes a chamber piece different than a piece for a large orchestra, is that it's possible to concentrate on what individual members are playing at the same time that you're seeing it as a whole piece.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure that for performers, it would be something that they would like, because it's close to being a soloist, and yet you're playing in collaboration with other musicians.
Well, I hope very much to give everybody in the group something interesting to play, something where they can really shine, which in a large orchestral work is probably for the most part not possible. But in this, I really hope everybody enjoys playing at least certain parts.
Mm-hmm. You know, the poetry aspect in the second half of the program, Act Two, if you will, where Jerry sings a variety of folk songs, music by Kurt Weill, words by Walt Whitman in some cases, Charles Ives, Aaron Copland, and a lot of spiritual songs and folk that we remember. The Water is Wide, Black, Black, Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair, Billy Boy, and even more modern things. I Can't Give You Anything But Love. Interspersed with Sandburg's poems, as Dan mentioned, the sense of Sandburg not being, you know, all rhyming couplets and that kind of thing, that it's free verse. And that's part of my job reading Sandburg. It doesn't necessarily always sound like poetry, because Sandburg didn't always write like that. He wrote this free form, and I hope that we're going to get a sense of that free form tonight, that it maybe doesn't sound like poetry at times.
Or what people expect poetry to sound
exactly.
like.
Well, at this point, I have been promising here we were going to give away some tickets, and now we're going to do that. We have 6 pair of tickets for the performance tonight. This will be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at 8 o'clock, the world premiere of the song and the slogan. What you need to do if you'd like to get in on this is give us a call at 333-0852. And we'll take the first 6 people, and as soon as they're gone, we'll let you know that they're gone. And then what you'll need to do is pick up the tickets at the box office tonight. That's where they will be. So you don't have to come to the radio station. You can just go right to Krannert. 333-0852. We have a dozen six pair, and then I think that there still are tickets, so I think anybody who is interested in attending certainly can go and hear.
But they're going fast.
That's right, like hotcakes.
Dave, I know that you have done documentary narration before, and you're going to be the narrator for this documentary that's being produced that will include a performance and some other stuff about Sandberg. Have you done things like this before, that is to be in on a live performance like this?
Never. This is the first time. As Jerry Hadley mentioned earlier, back in the early mid-60s, I did some musical theater in New York and started doing a little bit of singing. So I had that, but that's been, 35 years ago. And for the last 25 to 30 years, most of what I've done besides Good Morning America is write and produce and host documentaries, mostly about American history and public affairs and national defense and the Constitution and, a variety of subjects. But when Jerry asked if I would do this, he and I have talked about trying to present the history of American musical theater on television to a broader audience than the small target audience that you might present, say, opera to. We haven't solved that one yet, but then when he created this whole idea of the Sandberg and said, you know what, maybe we should do this together in the TV show, and then what evolved from that was to also do the concert tonight. So to answer your question more briefly, no, I've never done this before, and it is very exciting. It really is. And to work with Jerry is just fabulous, and now to meet Daniel and work with him, it's just a great experience for me.
And I want to just say at least something about the documentary that people will have a chance to see next year. And I think that the concept is an interesting one, because in a sense what we have here is a performance of the piece, and what they've done is that they have recorded, gone into the concert hall and recorded it. But the visuals that you will see are outside.
Right.
And what
on the prairie.
On the prairie. And what Tim has said that he's hoping that what you get is you get the prairie, the performance, and the poetry all together.
And the reason I'm part of that drill is to do the, quote, documentary, the biography. It's a brief biography, but we cover the main story of Sandberg's life and his meeting his wife Lillian and the development of his life. So, and that's the whole journey of his life. And so we'll learn about Sandberg and hear his poetry and this wonderful music that Daniel's written.
And it's certainly appropriate for the University of Illinois to be involved in this, because the U of I Library has the Sandberg archives.
It so sure does.
A great base of material here to do research about Sandberg.
And we indeed did shoot part of the documentary in the rare book area of the library with Jean Rinkel, who is the curator of that part of the library. And we see a lot of his handwritten work and hear some of his work. It's very exciting. It was for me to be up there. It's wonderful.
Yeah. You want Daniel, would you like to play some more music?
Well, we probably should, shouldn't we? We've been talking so much a little bit. I have a couple of CDs that are out from past years, and you might want to look at some of the titles of these and have a little bit of fun with those.
Looking at just earlier that, for example, here is a piece that's titled, A Meter Maid Attempts to Give a Parking Ticket to an Aggressive Alcoholic Who's Just Arrived with Three More Dimes. Or the ever-popular Undiscovering the Joys of Designer Latex. Let's see. Overhearing a real estate deal while talking on a cordless phone. On the fast track to a questionable destination. That's a story of my life right there.
There are composers who are dealing with our contemporary challenges.
Well, actually, there's a very long tradition of keyboard works with satirical intent. Certainly, music historians know the François Couperin pieces that have wonderful titles to them. But I think it actually goes back to the origin of the instrument in the Renaissance. So I had hoped to maybe extend that tradition a little bit. And many of the titles came from my friend, a wonderful poet by the name of Adam Cornford. Some of them just came straight out of the newspaper. And in fact, that's the case. You can pick up a newspaper and you can find satire everywhere you look. Someone said, I don't know who it was, but someone said, the modern satirist is redundant because the encroaching insanity of reality has so supersedes any attempt at satire that it's unnecessary.
Well, what would you like to pick something from this this particular? This is I think Jason Croft is also getting a caller lined up. Now he's in position.
We might as well just play the first track of Contemporaries.
How about that? And that is the one that I mentioned. This is indeed, this is a piece for flute and piano, and it's titled A Meter Maid Attempts to Give a Parking Ticket to an Aggressive Alcoholic Who's Just Arrived with Three More Dimes. That is music of Daniel Stephen Crafts. Tell us again what the title of the piece is.
Well, this was a title given to me by my friend poet Adam Cornford. A meter maid attempts to give a parking ticket to an aggressive alcoholic who has just arrived with three more dimes.
And I guess I should also mention again at this point that the reason that Daniel Stephen Crafts is here is that here on the campus tonight there will be the world premiere of a piece that he composed with his music and words by Carl Sandburg. Jerry Hadley will be singing. He was here a little earlier than he had to go. We're going to give him a rest. He's got to rest his voice because he's performing. But also here in the studio, David Hartman, who you his voice certainly should be familiar to you. He was host of ABC's Good Morning America and since has been doing a lot of work producing documentaries. He will be a reader for the performance tonight, and also he will be the narrator of a documentary about Sandburg that will include a performance of the work that's in production now here at WILL and should be available for viewing sometime next year. I think, David, you wanted to say a little bit more about some other features of the performance tonight, because it will be more than just song and slogan.
The second part of the program is Sandberg's poetry, which I read, but it's bits and pieces of many of his poems. Prairie, of course, River Moons, The People, yes, Fire Logs, and we get to Lincoln, of course, God Is No Gentleman, and a moving poem called Mag. It kind of runs the gamut to give people a feel for, you know, the breadth of Sandberg. But these pieces of poems, interspersed with Jerry singing a lot of traditional folk tunes, music by Copeland and Ives and Kurt Vile, but also folk things. Black, black, black is the color of Trumulov's hair, and so forth. So you get a feel for Americana, if you will, put that in quotation marks. But again, we hope that what is evoked here for the people in the audience is a feel for not only Sandberg, but the human spirit. It's an affirmation of the human spirit of America. For me, this is what it is. And I hope that tonight people will get that sense from what we're doing.
Yeah, I think probably most people don't really know much about Sandberg and aren't familiar with much of his writing and would be surprised at just how edgy a lot of it
Very.
Is.
Indeed, indeed. And in fact, Sandberg is part of that great American radical tradition out of which people like Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and Burl Ives in his early days.
How many people are aware that it was Sandberg who wrote the line, "Brother, can you spare a dime?" So there is a lot familiar about Sandberg. We just don't know what some of those things
indeed.
Are.
Indeed, it is very rich and very, very diverse.
Since Daniel's here, we thought we'd take the opportunity to again, you know, perhaps introduce you to a little bit more of his music, because people here, they can certainly hear the work tonight, but we thought, since he probably will be new to you, we'd give you the opportunity to maybe hear something else. Mm-hmm. Tell us now what we're going to play next.
Well, this is from a CD that I have out called Arias, and it is excerpts from the first three operas that I wrote. This one is a setting of the story of the Pied Piper, which everybody knows, of course. Very briefly, the town of Hamelin is besieged by rats. A mysterious stranger appears and says, "I can get rid of these rats. Pay me 1,000 guilders." So the mayor agrees, and the piper plays a song, and the rats disappear. But then when he comes to collect his 1,000 guilders, the mayor says, "Well, as far as I can tell, the rats are gone. I think we'll give you a nice meal and send you on your way." The piper says, "Well, I'm sorry, that's not good enough." And he begins to play another tune, and all the children leave the town, marching into the side of a mountain that magically opens up. But at that point, there's a little lame boy who can't walk fast enough and can't make it into the mountain. Well, for purposes of voice contrast, in this version, I changed the little boy to a little girl who, as we find out at this point, has been the old woman narrating the story that happened 100 years ago. And at this point, she talks about all the wonderful things that the piper promised that all the other children are experiencing, but she was left all by herself.
All right. Well, let's hear that. Thank you. That's music of our guest here, Daniel Stephen Kraft. Well, you can tell us again who the performers are.
The soprano is a wonderful San Francisco singer by the name of Karen Carl, and the pianist is Charles Worth.
Okay. I think probably forever composers have been driving performers crazy because they wrote things that were difficult, sometimes impossible to play, and then the performers had to figure out, how do I play this? How do you approach writing for the voice, and would you say that you understand what singers can and can't do, or that sometimes you write something and then you just cross your fingers and hope that it can be sung?
I can tell very easily from the expression on their faces when they sing something whether or not it works. But I am blessed having a number of wonderful friends who are marvelous singers who definitely keep me on the straight and narrow whenever I might write something that was less than vocally idiomatic. And that's what I try to do. Singers or any player want something challenging, but they want something idiomatically challenging, not just difficult. Mm-hmm. Awkwardly difficult.
What does that mean exactly?
Different things with different singers, different instrumentalists, whatever. But it's really just doing your best, asking as many questions as possible to understand what people have to do in order to make these sounds, mm-hmm. and to do things that will make them sound good, allow them to do wonderful things. For example, for singers, you certainly don't want them have them up at the top of their register constantly. I mean, that's extremely tiring, and it's not all that interesting to listen to either. You really, as Jerry said to me one time when I asked him what's the best way of writing for him, he said, "Take me all over everywhere. Give me a journey that takes me up and down and back and forth and in and out, and that's what I like best."
Now, would you look at his range? I mean, would you discuss his range and the best? Of course, his range is not only big, he's solid all the way through it. But with a singer, would you ask him, sit down with them at the piano and say, what's your range? Where are you most comfortable? You know, what are the vowels you sing best or consonants of particular, you know, particular notes, let's say, at the top of your range? I mean, do you do all that kind of thing or not? Do you have to?
I was certainly about to do that, and Jerry made it very easy for me. He said you can sing any syllable on any note. And he said, anybody who tells you differently is just
making
excuses.
And he would just say, hey, that's what I do. I mean, but welcome to the big time and when you're that good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, how do you feel about a performer who would look at, you would write a piece, you would say, here you go. They'd look at it, they'd play through it, they'd sing it, and they would come back to you and say, look, you got to change this and this and this and this and this, and I can't do this and I can't do that.
Then I change it.
So you'd say
then I change it.
You're fine with it.
I have trust in those folks. I want to end up with something that is enjoyable to sing. That as I say, is an idiomatic challenge, not just a ridiculous challenge. I want that to be. I want people to tell me if I've gone wrong somewhere. That's invaluable advice.
Hmm. Well, we're coming down to the point here. We have maybe 3 or so minutes left. We thought just to finish up, we could play some more of the song and the slogan. So maybe one more time, I'll make sure that people know that the world premiere of this work taking place tonight on the U of I campus at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts at 8 o'clock. Jerry Hadley will be the singer. A lot of other very fine musicians from University of Illinois will
indeed,
take part.
Indeed.
Here with us in the studio, the composer, Daniel Stephen Crafts, and David Hartman is here too, and he will be serving as reader tonight. So he will also be performing. And then we also want you to look forward to sometime in 2001, this documentary that we've talked about, looking at the life of Carl Sandburg. Any last thing we'd like to leave with folks?
Well, I'll just tell you where we come in here. It's approximately the middle of the piece, and it's rather a quiet, introspective part where we just hear Jerry and the pianist Eric Dahlheim after we hear a wonderful cello solo by Barbara Hedlund.
All right, let's hear.
I shall foot it down the roadway in the dusk, where shapes of hunger wander and the fugitives of pain go by. I shall foot it in the silence of the morning, see the night slur into dawn, hear the slow great winds arise, where tall trees flank the way, and shoulder towards the sky the broken boulders by the road shall not commemorate my ruin. Regret shall be
And again, that's Jerry Hadley performing in the song and the slogan, and you can hear a full performance of the work first time tonight at 8 o'clock on the U of I campus at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts.